sponsors. Welcome back to Backbone Radio. Ross Kaminsky in the studio, 303-696-1971. Our number if you want to join the conversation. Boy, what a privilege to have back on Backbone Radio Christian Adams, or more formally, J. Christian Adams, author of Injustice, Exposing the Racial Agenda of the Obama Justice Department. If you are mad about, you know, almost anything that the Obama administration has done, whether it's Obamacare, the EPA, or whatever, all things which you should be mad about, it almost seems to pale in comparison to the assault on the rule of law under Eric Holder's Department of Justice. Christian Adams was an attorney in the voting section of the Department of Justice. This is all firsthand stuff that he has seen himself. Christian Adams, thanks for taking time out of your Sunday evening to be with us.
No, thanks for having me.
And before we get into the book, and I've asked you this question before, just so people understand, I'm sure that liberals have already come out, I haven't looked for this myself, but have come out saying, oh, Christian Adams is just a conservative white guy, and so he's just making these claims because he hates the black attorney general or something. I'm sure they've said something like that. Tell us just briefly who you are, you know, and why you wrote this book.
Well, I was an attorney in the voting section. I brought cases around the country to help African Americans get elected, to help Hispanics, but also on one or two occasions I actually brought a case to help a discriminated against white minority, whether it was the victims in Philadelphia with the new Black Panther case or the victims of voter fraud, a racially motivated voter fraud down in Mississippi, a guy named Ike Brown, which I talk about in the book. And it was the new Black Panther case that caused such an uproar because people at the Justice Department didn't want to sue black people, and they said so plainly and openly, and I named names in the book. And so it was really that case that rocketed me up into attention and what the book is some of it is about. So, you know, I brought cases on behalf of everybody, and the book has, I think, 360 footnotes in it, so it's going to be pretty hard to take issue with the facts.
Well, your book starts off with a fascinating little story about a piece of paper that Attorney General Eric Holder keeps in his wallet. Tell us about that.
This is how the book starts. Eric Holder, our Attorney General, has been carrying this piece of paper in his wallet around since 1971. And what is it? It's a quote. It's a quote from a Harlem preacher named Reverend Proctor. And it says that blackness is the most important thing to any black person. It's more important than their success, more important than their status, and that a black person has common cause with other black people. And when Eric Holder was asked by the Washington Post, what does this thing mean to him, he said, it means I'm not the tall U.S. attorney, I'm not the thin U.S. attorney, I am the black U.S. attorney, and I have common cause with the black criminal. I mean, this is a direct quote. You can read the footnotes where it comes from. But it's an astonishing thing that the chief law enforcement official of this country carried around in his wallet for the last 40 years.
Well, I suppose if the attorney general thinks that he has common cause with a black criminal, that would explain what the Department of Justice did with the new Black Panther case, which you were so closely involved in. Why don't you tell our listeners who might not be fully aware of the story what that case is and what your involvement was with it?
Sure. On the day that President Obama was elected in 2008, the new Black Panther Party, which is very different than the old one, these guys are anti-Semites, they're anti-white, they call for the murder of white babies. They were posted in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in front of a polling place and armed with a billy club. And they were in their uniforms or combat boots or black berets, and they blocked the entrance to the polls, and they were shouting racial slurs like you're about to be ruled by the black man cracker, things like that. So the Justice Department and me, we brought a voter intimidation lawsuit against them under the Voting Rights Act. And the Panthers actually never even responded to the lawsuit. They didn't answer it. They didn't file any response or answers. So they were in default. But yet the Holder administration, the new Obama-Holder Justice Department, ordered the case to be dismissed in May of 2009. A lot of people started investigating the dismissal in Congress and the Civil Rights Commission, and I was subpoenaed to give testimony along with the other attorneys on the case. And they told us not to comply with the subpoena. And eventually, to make a long story short, I resigned in order to comply with the subpoena and give testimony to the Civil Rights Commission.
So why were you told, what were you told was the reason for the case being dropped?
Well, complicated question. I mean, they've said to the public that the facts and the law didn't support the case, but the previous Justice Department under the Bush administration already made a determination that it did, and that the case was a solid case, and it is a solid case. I mean, anybody with eyes can see what was happening on the videotape, and, you know, when you go to vote, you don't expect to see armed, uniformed thugs with weapons in front of the polls. And so, you know, they would say things to Congress like, well, one of the people lived in the building, which wasn't true. They didn't live in the building. They lived about five blocks away. So it was a series of excuses that don't pan out, that are in some instances bald-faced lies, like the one I just mentioned about where one of the Panthers lived. So that's what they told the public.
Let me just ask you this before I get back on track here. Is it possible? Was this case dismissed with or without prejudice? Could this be brought again?
Yeah. Fantastic question. It was very deliberately on my part dismissed without prejudice. So if there's a new administration in 2013, conceivably a new attorney general could refile this case.
Now, you know, a lot of the talk is about Eric Holder, as the talk always is about the guy at the top. But is there a more – it goes way beyond him, doesn't it, in terms of this lack of interest in pursuing a case where, for example, whites might be victims?
Yeah, and this is a main theme in my book, Injustice. From top to bottom, from root to branch, there is hostility – in this Justice Department to bringing cases to protect anybody except traditional national racial minorities. In other words, if you're a victim of the New Black Panthers and you're white, case dismissed. If you're at the Wisconsin State Fair and you are beaten up by a gang of people talking about they're going to attack white people, no case will be brought. And it is a pervasive institutional hostility among the career civil servants, you know, the low-level people in the Civil Rights Division, to enforcing the law equally and protecting all Americans. I name names in the book. I give quotes that they say. Like, for example, Avner Shapiro. Avner Shapiro is an attorney at the Justice Department who said, I didn't join the Justice Department to sue black people. I mean, these are the open attitudes of people inside this Justice Department.
It's remarkable. We got about a minute and a half left in this segment. Tell us, who is Ike Brown?
Ike Brown. Two chapters of Injustice are dedicated to the Ike Brown story. He is the Democratic chairman in Noxubee County, Mississippi, who ran the elections there and was found liable in a case I brought of discriminating against white voters. He was the first African American ever found liable for violating the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
And so was a case brought, not brought? What happened?
It was brought, but only after a huge fight during the Bush administration with the career people. The civil servants did not want to sue a black person. They didn't want to bring a voting rights case against an African American. And they said so. It was no secret. This is what they fought over. But the case got brought because it was the Bush administration, and they were willing to enforce the law equally and protect all Americans. Well, the problem is now those people are now running the show. The lunatics are running the asylum. That in the Holder administration, the Obama administration, these same people who are hostile toward protecting all Americans are now making the decisions and refusing to protect all Americans.
And tell us, we got about 30 seconds left here. What happened to your friend Christopher? Is Coates his last name?
Coates, that's right. Yep. As a matter of fact, I had dinner with him last night. He was my boss, And he was also on the Black Panther case, and he actually was also subpoenaed, just like me. And about 3 or 4 months after my testimony, he defied his superiors, even though he was moved to South Carolina, and he also testified about the hostility inside the Obama administration to protecting all Americans.
So you basically, your boss got demoted from D.C. to South Carolina because he wanted to pursue the Black Panther case.
That's correct.
When we come back, Christian Adams, I want to ask you about the chapter in your book called Personnel is Policy. You won't believe the people who Eric Holder is putting in charge of law and order in the United States. Stay with us right here on Backbone Radio. J. Christian Adams, author of Injustice. Check it out on Amazon.com. We'll be right back. Back to our VIP line, and Christian Adams, author of Injustice. Check it out at Amazon.com. If you've got a question or comment for Christian Adams, 303-696-1971. Christian, before I get to your Personnel is Policy chapter, I want to bring up a name. The first case that I ever read about and wrote about as well on my website and elsewhere, where I kind of learned the mentality of the DOJ, revolved around this small town called Kinston, North Carolina. And my short take on it, and you tell me if I have it wrong, is basically that the Department of Justice, under a woman named Loretta King in this case, said that if a ballot isn't marked with D or R for Democrat or Republican, because this town wanted to go to nonpartisan elections, then black people won't know who to vote for, and therefore she wouldn't let the town switch to nonpartisan elections. Is that right?
Yeah, it's exactly what she said, that if it didn't say D, the black voters wouldn't know for whom to vote.
That's just, I mean, to me, that's actually overtly racist, you know, yeah. On her part. But you and I were talking about this off the air, and you said that Loretta King is gone.
Yeah, she resigned. She was the acting assistant attorney general, responsible for a lot of the nonsense in the book, and I name her throughout the book. And about 4 days after Amazon started shipping, so let me think, 3 days in the mail, 1 day to read it, oops, Loretta King is resigning from the Justice Department. She announced her resignation about 4 days after the book started shipping from Amazon.
Did you have a glass of champagne? What?
Well, you shouldn't celebrate too quick, because she made it clear she's sticking around until at least December. So what they did is they rushed out her resignation notice so they can then say, oh, well, don't ask us about those questions about Kinston, North Carolina, because, oh, Loretta resigned, but of course she's still there. So they get the best of both worlds. They get a hack to stay working there in the form of Loretta, and they get to say that she quit. So best of both worlds.
So you were telling me off the air again that there was a case maybe even more interesting in Texas and involving Loretta King. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you got to understand, in 16 states, including North Carolina and Texas, the federal government actually has to approve all changes involving elections under the Voting Rights Act. It's called Section 5. And so that's why Kinston, North Carolina, was in front of Loretta King. But it's also why a place called Harlingen, Texas, was also in front of Loretta King. And in Harlingen, Texas, there was an illegal election plan that had not been approved. It was not approved. And all the attorneys in the voting section recommended that a lawsuit be filed to stop the election, which is standard procedure. And Loretta King said, no, we're not going to do that. I'm going to just wait and see if the candidate of the right race wins. And so they sat back and they watched the election, and because a Hispanic won, they didn't enforce the law. But if it had been a white person that won, they were going to sue to have the results overturned. And this is in Harlingen, Texas in 2009, and I write about it in the book Injustice.
That's just amazing. So what ended up happening?
Well, the right race won and nothing happened.
Wow. Tell us, what is an illegal election?
Well, it's one that hasn't been pre-cleared under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. If a town, for example, that was covered by Section 5, let's say Pueblo, Colorado, and they went from at-large elections to districts, you have to have that approved by the federal government in 16 states. Colorado is not one of them, I should emphasize, but I'm just using that as an example. And so if the election were to take place without approval, it's illegal.
And just for my own information, are those Section 5 requirements, are they Do they apply to entire states or parts of those states?
Both. They apply, for example, to the entire state of South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Louisiana, but they apply to parts of California, Alaska, Michigan, South Dakota, Virginia, North Carolina, New Hampshire, and New York.
South Dakota?
Yeah.
Alaska?
Yeah.
What are the correct. Eskimos being unfairly treated in voting?
Well, the better question is New Hampshire.
So what's the story?
Well, they used the mathematical formula. If you had a test or device, which could be a literacy test in the 60s, and you had less than 50% turnout in the election in 1964, you fall within the triggers of the Voting Rights Act, Section 5, which is currently right now being challenged in court as unconstitutional by the state of Arizona, the state of Florida, Kinston, North Carolina, by the way. Citizens there are challenging it,
mm-hmm.
and also Shelby County, Alabama. So there's four separate lawsuits moving through the courts to strike this down.
You know, that Kinston story just drove me crazy. I mean, I understand the purpose of the Voting Rights Act to protect a white majority from hurting the voting rights of a black minority. But Kinston is now two-thirds black, and they voted 2-1 for that a change to nonpartisan elections, and yet Loretta King said no.
Well, that's exactly the attitude out of this Justice Department that I talk about in my book Injustice, how they know better than everybody else. They're the elites, they're the monks, and they're going to dictate how America should deal with racial issues.
Well, speaking of the elites, let's talk a little about your chapter called Personnel as Policy. I feel almost sick, you know, when I read this chapter in your book, when I think about it's like they're injecting cancer cells into our legal system. And tell us a little bit about who some of these people are that you describe and what the problem is with them.
Well, what has happened since the inauguration that the Civil Rights Division alone, where I used to work, has hired 113 new attorneys. These are new slots, $20 million more a year to pay their salaries. Most of them are leaving far, far left-wing groups, not just liberals, not just Democrats, but radicals, to populate the Civil Rights Division. People who work for, like, one guy was with the Junta for Progressive Action, another person chained themselves to a tree in protest. I mean, it's almost a caricature. Many of them have worked for Islamic terrorists being held in Gitmo. These are not your normal grandfather's Democrats. These are hardcore ideological radicals who want to push the law to a new frontier. And they are now wielding enormous power. This is not some backwater government agency. If you read my book, you'll find out about all the power this single agency has over the economy, over elections, over state governments. And these radicals are opposed to most things that Americans are opposed to, or I should say in favor of, like cleaning up voter rolls of dead voters. Colorado's got an enormous problem with this. And these radicals don't want to enforce the law that forces them to clean up the voter rolls, for one example out of many.
So tell us, and again, we've only got about 30 seconds in this segment, but who is Hans von Spakovsky and why was that important?
Well, Hans von Spakovsky was a counsel to the Assistant Attorney General who was willing to force the voting section during the previous administration to protect everybody. He eventually became a federal election commissioner that President Obama specifically campaigned against in 2008 because he was willing to enforce the law equally. So this shows you the stakes. This is not some tiny little side issue in this administration. This is central to their meaning, is whether or not the law applies equally to every race.
Christian Adams, when we come back, I want to ask you about some new news about a former congressman in Alabama who's now a black Democrat who's now saying that voter ID laws should be put into place, even though it's not what he said when he was in Congress. Stay with us right here on Backbone Radio. We're joined by Christian Adams, his book Injustice. Find it on Amazon.com. We'll be right back.